There's another person who's a pre-reformer that you may not have heard of, and that's Anne of Bohemia. Anne of Bohemia was the eldest daughter of the Emperor Charles IV of the Holy Roman Empire. And her brother was King Wenceslas of Bohemia, who's named after the subject of that famous Christmas carol. We've all heard or sung Good King Wenceslas. And in fact, that's the ancestor of her brother, who was King Wenceslas of Bohemia. Well, Anne was taught the truths of the scripture from her youth, and there were a number of faithful gospel preachers in Bohemia at that time, including Conrad Strickner, Johann Melick, and Matthias Janowicz. And Anne asked many probing questions concerning scriptural truth. Anne was described as a godly, intelligent young girl with an inquiring mind. She was renowned for her love of reading and for possession of the scriptures in three languages. Her favorite books of the Bible were the four Gospels, which she constantly studied. Her personal emblem, her seal, Anne came to recognize the many errors prevailing in the Roman Church, and she persisted in praying for a return to biblical faithfulness, to the doctrine of the apostles, and to the purity of the early church in the book of Acts. The traditional alliance of Bohemia with France was shattered by the joint defeat at the hands of the English at the Battle of Crecy, 1346. The battle lines of the English are shown in red. Battle lines of the French are shown in blue. The French way outnumbered the English, but the English were deploying their new weapon, the longbow. And the longbow shattered the French cavalry attack, and the Battle of Crecy is one of the great victories. They chose an excellent position, high ground, and they had also high ground on the side. They also had the river on the side, and all this basically channeled the French into a position where the English were able to massacre them with their archery. Well, the Battle of Crecy was one of the great turning points in history, which showed the rise of England and the decline of France as the superpower in Europe. But the Battle of Crecy had, in fact, the father of what would be the husband of Anne, involved in a key role. Here you can see how the papal schism had taken the French Pope, who was based in Avignon, in war against the Italian Pope based in Rome, and England and Bohemia and Hungary and others joined with the Roman Pope, whereas France and Spain and Scotland were on the side of the French Pope. So because of this papal schism, the Bohemians were divided from their traditional allies of the French. And as France supported the Pope Clement VII of Avignon, King Wenceslas chose to support Pope Urban VI in Rome, and the English were allied against the French Pope, so the Bohemians came to alliance with the English for the first time. Now, Richard II's father was called the Black Prince because of his dark-coloured armour, which is very unusual. So he had black armour, and he played a vital role, a pivotal role, in this battle. In fact, there's a classic saying you might have heard of, winning a spurs. It comes from this battle. When his father saw that he was being pressed heavily by the French and he was in deep trouble, and there's his young son leading this one wing of the battle. If you go back to the actual battle lines here, you can see the king was at the back with the reserves. And his son was the Black Prince, and he was being pressed the worst. And others were asking, are you going to send relief? And he said, no, let my son earn his spurs. And that's where the whole term earning your spurs comes from. And he did earn his spurs that day at Crecy, and became a great king. But as King Richard's father, Edward the Black Prince, died in 1376, and his grandfather, King Edward III, died the following year, Richard II then became King of England at age 10. His father was in line to be king, but he died before his grandfather, and so now we've got Richard II as King of England at age 10. Immediately, negotiations began to solidify the alliance, this new alliance between Bohemia and England, by the marriage of Prince Anne to King Richard. Now, reportedly, Anne was persuaded to accept the proposal because of positive reports that she had heard of the Reformation work of Professor John Wycliffe of Oxford University, because she was very reformist in her outlook anyway. and this is what clinched the deal for her. In January 1382, when Richard II was only 15 years old and Anne was only 16 years old, they were married in St. Stephen's Chapel at Westminster. Not too unusual at that stage, bearing in mind that the average life expectancy was about 29, 30. You're almost middle-aged at 15. Life expectancy was not high at that stage. So although their marriage had been arranged by diplomats, it appears to have been a good, loving, and positive relationship. And Anne was undoubtedly an excellent influence on Richard during their 12 years together. The Archbishop of York, Arundel, was one of the most vitriolic enemies of Wycliffe's Reformation work. He was horrified to hear that the Queen owned copies of the Gospel, which he avidly studied. Professor John Wycliffe was delighted to hear of Queen Anne's love for the Scriptures, and he publicly compared it to the biblical Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what the Master had to say. For her part, Queen Anne protected Wycliffe from his many enemies and intervened to protect him from prosecution and to save his life. And there were occasions when he was about to be sent to the gallows or shipped off to be burned at the stake, and the Queen's emissaries arrived at the court in order to inform the Archbishop, "You cannot do this, he is under protection of the Queen." At the encouragement of Queen Anne, Bohemian students came to Oxford to study under John Wycliffe, and many of these students carried back the Reformation writings and teachings of Wycliffe to Prague, in Bohemia, and throughout Central Europe. Many of Queen Anne's friends and servants became dedicated Christian believers. This is the personal crest of Queen Anne when she became Queen of England. You can see the Lions of England. You can see the French royal signs, which is also Bohemian. You can see the double-headed eagle of the Holy Roman Empire, because she is the daughter of the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. So you can see the symbols there for both the Christian faith, the doves, Bohemia, England, joined together. The common people of England came to love their queen, and her kindness and her generosity to poor was legendary. It is said that as many as 6,000 people were fed daily through her benevolence. Students sponsored by Queen Anne were soon taking Reformation writings and teachings as far afield as Lithuania, which controlled a massive part of Russia at that time. Lithuania was a huge power then, almost to Moscow. And they were benefiting from the writings of Wycliffe. Tragically, this bright and shining light was cut short. 7th of June 1394, Anne died at age 27 from the plague. So she was roughly, that was the rough age. Your life expectancy average was about 28 or so at that time. Her husband, King Richard II, was devastated, and the people of England deeply mourned her. And he didn't turn out to be that great a king afterwards. He was a fine king when she was by his side, but he seemed to have had some bad advisers after that. Many of her Christian friends and servants returned to Bohemia with the translations of the Gospels and the writings of John Wycliffe that had been so highly treasured by Queen Anne. These led to the conversion of Professor Jan Hus of Bohemia and the Hussite movement, and later the Moravians. From them, missionaries went out literally to the very ends of the earth. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16 says, "These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in faith, in love, in spirit, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, and in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you."